Let's okay. The topic today is a fascinating topic, and whenever it comes up, it's related to this week's parsha. And the topic is Tircha de Tzibura, which I suppose you could translate as, overburdening the community or a group of people. Now, in my experience, Tircha de Tzibura is a halachic concept that was given to us to use whenever we're unhappy with something in shul, right? You just beat somebody else over the head with it's Tircha de Tzibura. Your song was Tircha de Tzibura. Your davening was Tircha de Tzibura. Making me sit through a mishaberech is Tircha de Tzibura. This thing with the Torah. Okay, you grow up. Tircha de Tzibura is a term that's always used in shul as saying, "I disagree with what you're doing, and therefore I'm going to call the rabbi's speech." That's always a big Tircha de Tzibura. Okay. We're not going to come up with a working, functional, specific definition, but what we're going to do, God willing, is see how the concept developed and try to put some parameters around it or some halachic parameters around it so we can better deal with it. But in the end, just to give it away, it's going to be a balancing act. There's always got to be a reason in favor of doing something that somebody would claim overcomes the general idea of Tircha de Tzibura. And what I hope to show is that the definition may change from community to community. It may be impossible to come up with a standard definition of Tircha de Tzibura. It may be that it depends where you are. Let's start. Oh, okay, I should pop this up. Okay. The source, I don't know why I can't get it on the whole screen. Doesn't matter. Can people see it? Oh, I see. Hang on. No. No, it was my fault. One second. It'll take a second. I could go back.
We were able to look at it.
Okay. All right. You can see it. It's fine. Okay, here we go. So the Gemara in Brachos, based on this week's parsha, has a really fascinating idea. The Gemara says, "Amar Avoh ben Zutrasi, Amar Rav Yehuda ben Zvida, Bikshu likvoa Parshas Balak b'kriyat Shema." They wanted to establish Parshas Balak. Presumably, by Parshas Balak, it means not the whole parsha, not this week's parsha, but the part of Bilam's, nevuah, the Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov, the beautiful parts. They wanted to include it within Kriyat Shema. Well, if it's such a good idea, why didn't they do it? Answers the Gemara, Mishum Torah Tzibur, Tircha de Tzibura. Nothing fancy, presumably. What it means is Shema would be too long, right? The Hava Amina is not to replace Kriya Shema with Parshas Balak. It was to add Parshas Balak to Kriya Shema. And the Gemara says, no, Tircha de Tzibur would take too long. Now the Gemara, we should just do the Gemara because it's fascinating. Gemara, it's my timer. If the draw of including Parshas Balak in Shema is because it talks about Yitzias Mitzrayim, says the Gemara, no, that can't be because there are many other parshios in the Torah that also reference Yitzias Mitzrayim. Ella Amrav Yossi Bar Avin, Mishun Dichsiv Bahaikra. Now, it's because of the following pasuk. Kara Shachav Ke'ari Uchilavi Miyikimanu. Right? He crouched like a lion and like a grown lion. Who would be like him? Okay, talking about us. It's a great compliment to us. Wait, so says the Gemara, wait, if that's such a magical pasuk, Vilema Hai Psi Apsuka Visulo. So just add that one pasuk. If that's the magic pasuk, add that one pasuk. Because that's not Tircha de Tzibura. Answers the Gemara, just an interesting halacha elsewhere. Gemirina, we know, kol parsha de pascha Moshe Rabbeinu paskinan. Any parsha that Moshe Rabbeinu separated or said on its own, meaning a paragraph in the Torah, paskinan. So then we would repeat that paragraph. But de lo pascha Moshe Rabbeinu lo paskinan. But if Moshe didn't say the pasuk individually, but it's included within a paragraph, we're not allowed to take that pasuk out of that paragraph. Okay, this is a widely violated idea in halacha. People quote individual psukim all the time, but the Gemara seems to say, you know, Kriya Shema is supposed to be made up of parshiyot, not random psukim. So to just grab the random pasuk of Kel Motzi Yamim, of Karash Achav Kari Uchlavi Miyikimenu, that seems to be a violation of only working with whole paragraphs in the Torah. Now, what's so magical about Kel Karash Achav Kari Uchlavi Miyikimenu? So Rashi says, where my cursor is, Karash Achav, Didami Levishach Becha Uvekumecha. It's similar to Bishach Becha Uvekumecha, the language that we know from Kriyat Shema, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Shomreinu Bishachveinu Uvekumenu, that God takes care of us both when we sleep and when we stand up, Lishkav Shleivim Ushketim Ki'ari Uchilavi, to sleep peacefully, you know, like they say, the lion sleeps well at night in the jungle, I guess because he's the king of the jungle. So this is like a beautiful reference to the fact that God allows us to sleep peacefully. We'll come back to that. It seems a little odd, I have to say, that just for that pasuk, that Karash Achav, which sounds like Bishach Becha Uvekumecha, we'd want to include it in Kriyat Shema. Could you bring me water? Water? Right? It sounds odd that that would be the reason. I suspect, we'll come back to this later, I suspect that the magic of Bilam and Balak is that it was said by a Gentile, and that there's something about being praised, or even God being praised by a non-Jew, that fascinating Chazal, but I can't prove it. It's just my sense. Okay, so we have this strange halacha of kol parsha de lo paskin Moshe Rabbeinu anan lo paskin. We don't break up parshios. We also have the same halacha about a pasuk, right? Kol pasuk de lo paskin Moshe Rabbeinu anan lo paskinan, which we also violate from time to time. Tonight, most people on this call will violate that halacha. How? Good, we're going to start Kiddush by saying Vayihiyar Vayivoki Yom HaShishi. That's half a pasuk, right? So there are cool people who mumble to themselves Vayar Elokim Eskol Asher Asav Vihinei Tov Ma'od Vayihiyar Vayivoki Yom HaShishi, which gets you around that halacha. Same thing for people who start Kiddush tomorrow, Al Kein Be'ach Hashem. That's also not a full pasuk, so some other people start before that. But anyway, that's the rule. But coming back to our idea, essentially, the Gemara rejects adding anything to Kriyat Shema because of Tircha de Tzibura. It seems like, you know, it's going to be overwhelming or burdensome on the Tzibur. So the question is, how does the Gemara know this? It's clearly a halachic concept. It appears in the Gemara. But it's hard to find a source for this. And so you ask the usual question, you come across a halachic source. Is it the Oraisa or Drabanan? Well, on the one hand, the Gemara doesn't quote a source for it. There's no pasuk. So that makes it sound perhaps like a Drabanan. On the other hand, there are plenty of ideas that are the Oraisa that we learn out as a Sfara or logic, right? There's no reason to exclude logic from halacha. So there could be ideas that are the Oraisa that aren't sourced in a pasuk, but are just logical. So Rav Asher Weiss suggests that perhaps the source, the logical source behind this, is it's a kind of bein adam lechaveiro. If you have a din of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha for an individual, right? So why wouldn't you say the same thing for a tzibur? Or even more, you know, if you have to worry about this for an individual, alachas kam v'kama kal v'chomer, that you have to worry about it for a tzibur. So let's... But it may be a slightly more complicated than that, because like most concepts in halacha, if there's a negative, there ought to be a positive, right? So if there's a thing called tircha de tzibura, so you don't want to burden the tzibur because you want to respect the tzibur. So we see this model in the next source. Source 2, the Gemara in Sota, Lamed Tes Amud Bez. The background to this Gemara is the following. Apparently, in the old days, they didn't leave Sifrei Torah in shul because it was dangerous. So they left it in somebody's house. They left it in the gabbai's house, whoever's house, which was safe. And then they brought it to shul for Shabbos. So there was no real Aron Kodesh in shul. And they would make kind of a temporary Aron Kodesh, like on the bima. They put some parochas up around it, and they'd leave the Sefer Torah in there. So the Gemara in Sota Lamatesa Beis says, "V'am Rab Tan Chomam Yeshua Ben Levi, Ein Shliach Tzibur Rashai LaHafshidat HaTeva B'Tzibur Mipnei Kvod Tzibur." The Gemara says the Tzibur doesn't have to wait while the Shliach Tzibur or the Gabbai undoes the temporary Aron Kodesh because of Kavod Tzibur, meaning at the end of davening, after Adon Olam, everybody waited in shul while the Gabbai took out the Sefer Torah, because of course you can't leave shul while the Sefer Torah is out. But the Gemara says, but they didn't have to wait while the Gabbai took down sort of the temporary holding thing that the Torah was in, because that's not Kavod Tzibur. And Rashi right there says, Lo yafshitu abigadim in ateva, you don't take down, I don't know, the silk things, the parochas thing that you made into an Aron Kodesh, mbnei atzibur, shetorach tzibur la'akev sham im sefer Torah. Because it's tircha de tzibura, it's an unnecessary burden on the tzibur to have to wait there while you take away all the decorations you put up. So what the Gemara calls kavod tzibur, Rashi calls tircha de tzibura. And that's many other Rishonim do this also, which sets up an equation for us, right? Tircha de tzibura is the negation of, or the opposite of, the obligation we have of kavod tzibur, right? We're supposed to show respect to the tzibur. And here the example is simple. The tzibur has to wait while you take out the Sefer Torah, because presumably that's not tircha de tzibur, the value of a Sefer Torah, the honor that we, the tzibur, owes a Sefer Torah, is worth us sitting in shul for another minute or two. But the stuff that you set up to honor the Sefer Torah with, that we shouldn't have to wait for, because that would be tircha de tzibura, right? So you see the balancing act going on, and you see the two sides of the equation, tircha de tzibura being the prohibition, and kavod tzibur being perhaps the mitzvah or the positive side of that value. Okay, let's go back to the potential source for this idea of tircha de tzibura or kavod tzibur. And as I mentioned before, Rav Asher suggests it's based on the mitzvah d'oraisa of the ahavta l'recha kamocha. One second, sorry. Source number three. Here it is in the Rambam. The Rambam says in Ilchos Deos, Perek Vav Halacha Gimel, mitzvah al kol adam le'ehov et kol echad ve'echad mi Yisrael kigufo. There is a mitzvah sase min haTorah to love every other Jew as we love ourselves. Shenema v'yohavta l'recha kamocha. Lefikach. Now the Rambam gives specific examples. Lefikach. Tzarich l'saper bishvacho. You have to speak positively about another Jew. V'lachos al memono. And to care about his money. You would like people to speak well of you. Okay, I would. So therefore, I should speak well of other people. I would, if I left the house and I saw that the hose was running and the water was just running, I would shut it off. So if I see my neighbor who's in America, if his hose is running and it's flooding his backyard, it's a mitzvah saseh min haTorah to shut it off. That's a mitzvah of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. And then the negative side of it, v'hamit kabeid b'kalon chaveiro, and a person who finds honor or joy in the failure of his neighbor, right? I think that word is called schadenfreude. Not surprisingly, I think it's a German word. Ein lo chelek l'olam haba. That's really bad, right? When you find joy in your neighbor's failure in whatever area, that's the opposite of Yahavta l'recha kamocha, and the Rambam says, Ein lo chelek l'olam haba. Okay, so it makes sense then to say that the idea of tircha de tzibura is an extension of the mitzvah saseh of Yahavta l'recha kamocha. And presumably, maybe even, the standard would be higher, right? If I owe an individual X level of respect, a tzibur, presumably I owe, X plus level of respect. Now, the only problem with this suggestion is that if the source of Tircha de Tzibura is V'ahavta L'recha Kamocha, it would turn Tircha de Tzibura into a De'oraisa. Why is that problematic? Because in the context, in the halachas that we're going to see, or even in the discussion, it would mean that Tircha de Tzibura could overcome a mitzvah De'oraisa. And that we don't find. Right? We don't find, you don't have an idea that, like, well, I'm supposed to get a lulav and esrog. I live in Krakow in the 1500s. It's a great time to live in Krakow, but they didn't have any dalid minim. So would anybody say, well, it's a real hassle to have to get to Vienna to buy dalid minim, so we're not going to do it? Of course not. We sacrifice for mitzvahs all the time, and the tzibur does so as well. So it seems difficult to claim that the application of Tircha de Tzibura might be De'oraisa or Min HaTorah. But the answer is we don't have to. And this for a really, really interesting reason. There is a model in Halacha of a value that's De'oraisa, but whose application is only Drabanan. And this is something we may have spoken about before, doesn't matter, but it's really a fascinating idea. And here it comes. Source number 4. And interestingly, while it's a Raman Hilchos Avel, Perek Yudalet Halacha Aleph, it's the same idea that we've been discussing now. Here's something we all know. Mitzvat Aseh Shel Divrehem, Levaker Cholim, Bikur Cholim, is the Mitzvat Aseh Shel Divrehem, meaning it's Drabanan, Nachem Avelim, Nichum Avelim, Lahotzi Ameis, Ulahachni Sakala, to walk with the guests, right, to help with the burial. These are all mitzvot aseh midrabanan. Now, I skipped a whole bunch, but here's the Rambam at the end. Afal pisha kol mitzvos elu midivrehem, even though these are all drabanan, harehen bichlal v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, they are subsumed under the meta de'oraisa concept of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, which means kol hadvarim shata rotzeh she'yasu otam l'cha acherim, that which you want others to do to you or for you, asei ata otam l'achicha b'torah v'mitzvot, you should do to your fellow observant Jew. How does that happen? On the one end, the Rambam says that nichum aveilam and bikur cholim adrabanans. On the other hand, he says they are also a kiyum of the mitzvah de'oraisa of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. Well, how could it be both? And the answer is, this is a model of something that we don't notice that often, but that exists. And that is, broadly speaking, these things can be considered a part of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, but the individual act, when you're asking yourself, should I say Kriya Shema or should I do Nichum Avelim? It's correct to say Kriya Shema is Doraisa, Nichum Avelim is Drabanan. It happens to also be that it could be a kiyum of V'ahavta L'recha Kamocha. So the answer is yes. But in the narrow halachic analysis, the act of Nichum Avelim, the act of Bikur Cholim, are Drabanan acts. I'll just point out, I always assumed that there are two levels here. I always assumed if you do Bikur Cholim or Nichum Avelim because it's the right thing to do, because you know it's a mitzvah and you know it's the right thing to do, you get a mitzvah drabanan of Bikur Cholim or Nichum Avelim. But if you do it because you really love the other person, if you do it and in your heart, you know, you really feel like you're doing this mitzvah saseh because you want this person to feel all these good, great things, yeah, then I think that mitzvah drabanan also turns into a mitzvah d'oraisa. But to come back to our idea, at least as a model, we could claim that tircha de tzibura is a d'oraisa concept based on v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, but each individual case is dealt with as if it was a drabanan. Okay, and that would give us a head start. Now, let's look at a bunch of cases that will help us understand the application of this concept. And the first one is not just, I think, the most famous case ever. I always think that about things that I know. But it's fascinating for a million historical reasons. Source number 5. It's a Mishnah. I think it's a Mishnah in Yuma. Samachet Amid Bet. Source number 5. The Mishnah is describing the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. And the Mishnah tells us, V'kohen gadol omeid u'mikabel. They're describing the ceremony of handing the Sefer Torah from person to person, from the skan to this to that. It gets to the Kohen Gadol. V'korei acharei mot v'ach be'asor. And he reads two different things. He reads acharei mot, which of course is the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. That, not surprisingly, is found in Parshas acharei mot. Then he reads v'ach be'asor, the paragraph in Emor that deals with Yom Kippur. Now, acharei mot to Emor is just like two little rolls, right? It just has Kiddoshim, which is tiny in the middle, and then you get to Emor. Okay? But then the Mishnah says something interesting. V'golel Sefer Torah u'manicho b'cheiko. Then he rolls the Sefer Torah up, he covers it, and he's holding it now. V'omer, and he says to the people, Yoter mima shekarati lifneichem katuv kan. There's much more in this Sefer Torah than what I just read to you. Okay, I don't know who would have thought otherwise, but that's what he says. That's part of the ceremony. And then the really fascinating part. Ube'asor shebichomesh hapkudim kore alpeh. But the maftir, which is the maftir we always read, which is the karbanot, the special karbanot that are brought on Yom Tov, which is found in Parshas Pinchas in Sefer Bamidbar, that he reads by heart. Now, none of us have ever heard of laning in shul by heart, right? We've never seen it. It seems wrong. It's just shocking. So the Gemara properly asks in source number 6, Ube asor shel chomesh hapkudim kore al peh amai. Why are you laning by heart? Niglol v'nikri. Roll the Sefer Torah and laying from a Sefer Torah. Amar Rav Huna, Braid Rav Yoshua, Amar Rav Sheshes. No. Lefi She'ein Golalin Sefer Torah B'Tzibur, Mipnei Kvod Tzibur. Says the Gemara, we're not going to make these people stand there while we roll the Sefer Torah. Here's the rule. We don't roll a Sefer Torah B'Tzibur. And the result of that rule is, presumably, you would lane by heart, something that we would never consider. Now, something that's always bothered me, which I've never understood, but I'll just raise it now, and that is, could it really be that in the Beis HaMikdash, they only had one Torah? I'll say right now, I would donate another Sefer Torah to the Beis HaMikdash. I really would. I'd get my name on it, right? How cool would that be? How could it be that they don't have a second Sefer Torah in the Beis HaMikdash? So presumably, and this is not our topic, presumably they did or they could have, but they thought that that would be a waste of time. That might be Tircha B'Tzibur as well. But be that as it may, we all, I think probably every one of us, spent time in an outdoor minyan over the last however long. What did you do on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh? Of which there were at least two, or better, what did you do on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Adar that was also Shkalim? Street Minyanim generally, none of them had three Sifrei Torah, and rarely, presumably they didn't have two. The answer is you rolled against a Beferish Mishnah describing what we did in the Beis HaMikdash. So how does this work? So let's look at the halacha, but again, the idea behind this is it's Tircha D'Tzibura. Now, how does this work? So look at source number 7. Here's how the Mechaber paskins. It's the Shulchan Aruch. It's not the Beis Yosef. I know they're the same person. We'll come back to that. Simon Kuf Mem Dalet Sif Gimel and Or HaChaim says the Mechaber, Ein Golulin Sefer Torah B'Tzibur Mipnei Kvod HaTzibur. Okay, the first thing is it's disrespectful to make the Tzibur stand there while you roll a Sefer Torah. And by the way, it doesn't take that long to roll a Sefer Torah, but if you were ever in a shul where that happened, there's much, body language letting us know that we should fire the gabbai. right? There's a lot of, this and that, and, it's very frustrating, and people take it personally. What do you do if you only have one Sefer Torah? So the Mechaber says, V'im ein lahem ela Sefer Torah echad, v'heim tzrichim likrot shnei inyanim golilin, v'yidcha kvod hatzibur. Says the Mechaber, halacha lemaisa, if you only have one Sefer Torah, and you need to learn two things, again, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, you roll. The idea being that the obligation to read, to read the maftir from the Torah is docha tircha de tzibur, is docha kavod tzibur. Yes, it's frustrating that everybody has to stand there while they roll a Sefer Torah, says the Mechaber. When the balance is, not laning for Rosh Chodesh, then we would rather lane for Rosh Chodesh and be docha kavod tzibur and make people wait while the Sefer Torah is rolled. Okay. Again, surprising that in the Beis HaMikdash, we wouldn't make people wait, and in congregation B'nai Yeshurun, or even in Efrat, we would make people wait. I would think the opposite, right? It's Yom Kippur. It's the Beis HaMikdash. Of course we should wait. It's strange. And by the way, we also don't entertain the possibility of laning by heart, which they did in the Beis HaMikdash, and which anybody could do in Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. It's five psukim. Almost everybody on this call knows it by heart. We've heard it hundreds of times in our lives. It would not be hard. I volunteer to be the first person ever to lane by heart in a shul. People would be angry at me, but it wouldn't be the first time. It'd be a lot of fun. But that's not the halacha. So what's the difference between our shuls and the Beis HaMikdash? The Magen Avraham is bothered by this. And the Magen Avraham says, V'yidchek kvod atzibur. Tzarich iyun. He says, this requires more analysis. Daha b'chohen gadol he tiru likros al peh. In the Beis HaMikdash, they allowed the Kohen Gadol to read from Pinchas by heart. Now, by the way, we should point out, to roll from Emor to Pinchas is b'har b'chuko, side by min manoso balos ha-shlach koach chukas balak Pinchas. It's not an exceptionally long period of time. It's less than one sefer, but it does require rolling. So why in shul yes, and in the Beis HaMikdash no? V'lo itir liglol b'tzibur shma mina d'lo amrinan yidcha kvod atzibur. Says the Magen Avraham, don't you see from that mission in the Beis HaMikdash that we should not paskin that rolling a sefer Torah or reading from inside a sefer Torah is docha kvod atzibur. V'afilu hecha d'lo efsha b'inyan acher. Even if you have no other choice, v'im kein hachanami, yikra al peh kimo shekasa beis Yosef b'shem Rashba zatzal. He says, when we need to read from two Sifrei Torah and we only have one, we should read from one, put it away, and read the other one by heart. Like the Beis Yosef Paskins, like the Rashba Paskins, these are real psak halacha, which to us seems bizarre. V'tzar chlomar. So he says, I have to answer as follows. He says, no, the difference could be as follows. In the Beis HaMikdash, I'll make up a number. There were 100,000 people standing there. It's hard to get 100,000 people to be mochel on their kavod, right? It's hot. They're standing in the sun. Hard to get them to be mochel. So we lane by heart. Ma she'en came the Beis HaKnesses, di'esh misei ma'at. In a shul, there's a much smaller number. So he says it's factual. In a shul, presumably, people will be mochel on their kavod in return from reading the proper maftir, which is some kind of gzeir drabanan, or at least the takanas hagaonim. But in the Beis HaMikdash, where there are so many people, it's hard to assume that all those people were mochel on their kavod. And therefore, in the Beis HaMikdash, we lane by heart, but in shul, we don't. It's a troubling explanation. I mean, for a black minion, it's easy. Yes, 15 people there, you could ask everybody. But it's hard to see how on Yom Kippur, in the Beis HaMikdash, where were people going? They couldn't wait five more minutes? It's a little hard to imagine that that's the case. So Rav Asher has a great answer. He suggests that in the Beis HaMikdash, whoever's there, the 100,000 people who are there on Yom Kippur, constitute Klal Yisrael. And it could be that when a group constitutes Klal Yisrael, it's not allowed to be mochel on its kavod. Like a melech, for example, Som Tasi Malecha Melech, you're supposed to have a king. The halacha is melech shemachal al kvodo, ein kvodo machol. He can't. Why not? Because he represents something that doesn't belong to him. And therefore, he's not allowed to agree to things that are an insult to his honor. So you suggest maybe in the Beis HaMikdash, all the Jews are together. Klal Yisrael, qua Klal Yisrael, as Klal Yisrael, cannot be mochel on their kavod. Okay, it's a good svara. It's not for me to say it's good or bad. It's a great svara. It's not as good as the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer, which Rav Asher also quotes, obviously I wouldn't have known it otherwise, he has a really great idea. What's the difference between Beis HaMikdash and Bnei Yeshurun? And he says, Ulefi Masher Kasav Yesh Lechalek. Here's the difference. Dehasam, in the Beis HaMikdash, Hakriya mutelet al kohen gadol levad. Kriya Sator, the obligation of Kriya Sator is an obligation of a yachid on one person. He happens to be the kohen gadol. Ukri alfina mimiluim, like in the miluim of the base of the Mishkan. Umehai time makari kohen gadol as kula. Therefore, no one gets an aliyah. He reads the whole thing. Al kain sarich lachush al kvod tzibur. So in the Beis HaMikdash, we're all just spectators. We're watching the kohen gadol do his own mitzvah. Because it's not Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. It's an individual obligation on the Kohen Gadol. So therefore, it's not fair to make us stand there and wait. It's like watching the Kohen Gadol go by his Dalad Minim. Right? Or watch the Kohen Gadol bake matzah. No, it's his obligation. So it's Tercha the Tzibur to make us wait. But Hacha, but in Shul, Shehi Chovas Tzibur, but laning in Shul is a communal obligation. Ein the Tzibur Lachush Al Kvodam. The Tzibur is not supposed to stand on its own honor because it's part of, you know, if it's the same thing, if you're waiting for something for you, you're more patient. If you're waiting for something for somebody else, you're less patient. So the Avnei Nezer has this great chiddush. In the Beis HaMikdash, it's an individual obligation on the Kohen Gadol. Therefore, we're not going to have to wait and we shouldn't have to wait. In the Beis HaMikdash, in Bnei Yeshurun, it's a communal obligation. Therefore, we're going to roll. Okay, let's ask another halacha l'maisa question to try to understand Tircha de Tzibura and to see the balancing act that goes into it. Okay, this happens, I don't want to say all the time, but it happens from time to time. I bet most people on this call have experienced it, which is the person who gets Hotzah takes out the wrong Sefer Torah. Okay, and let's do it in its most extreme example. It's Shabbos Parshas Bereishis, and he knows enough to know the Torah is supposed to be, you know, all on one side, because you're laning Bereishis. But he just gets confused, and he takes out the Sefer Torah for Vizos HaBracha. Okay? This is a significant challenge, because you got to now roll the whole Sefer Torah. What do you do? Wouldn't it be easier to just put the Sefer Torah back and take out the one that was properly rolled? And by the way, whenever this happens, I'm a keen observer in shul. Whenever this happens, the gabbai is waving his hands, letting everybody know that he did his job. The moron took out the wrong Sefer Torah, but he rolled it to Bereishis, right? It's not his fault. Okay, great. But what do you do now? You're stuck with the Sefer Torah that's at the Zos HaBracha, and you need to read Bereishis. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. Source number 9, says Ramosha. By the way, I made up the facts. Ramosha doesn't say it's Zos HaBracha to Bereishis, but I'm making it dramatic because it makes it more fun. Okay. Ramosha says, Hine, b'davar she'echad hotziya sefer Torah shalo huglala l'makom hakriya. Okay, you take a sefer Torah. It's not at the right place. V'haya zeh tircha d'tzibura lehamtin ad she'yiglalu. It would be a burden on the tzibur to stand there while they roll the thing. So he's describing what happened in the question he got. What's the fact pattern? Tziva shama sheyachzir sefer Torah zo la'aron ha-kodesh, v'yikach et ha-sefer ha-torah sheheichin be'erev Shabbos Kodesh. Okay? V'haysa gilula l'makom ha-kriya, v'iru razeh. Okay, so the Gabbai said, let's put the sefer Torah back and we'll take out the one that I correctly rolled on Erev Shabbos. It's already ready for us to lay. And apparently there was a fight in Shul. The people fought with him. Okay? And you now, ha'alala hater, you want to argue that the what the Gabi did was correct? De'kevon de'adayin lo hischilu b'mitzvah shehi ha'kriya yicholah lahaniach zo v'likach acheret. You want to claim, the questioner, that since they hadn't started laning yet, it's not like they were in the middle of the mitzvah. They didn't do anything yet. So you want to claim that it was okay to put the Sefer Torah back and take out another one. Obviously here we're dealing with the balance is Tircha de Tzibura on one side versus what we would describe as Pigam Sefer Torah, right? If you have to put a Sefer Torah back, then the Tzibur thinks there's something wrong with that Sefer Torah. Ah, you could just make an announcement saying there's nothing wrong with the Sefer Torah. It's just this dope who's never getting another kibbutz ever again in the shul took out the wrong Sefer Torah. Somehow, that's not part of the calculus. And says Rav Moshe in a way that no one's going to like, V'lachen ledina, kevan she'ika beiz shitos. There really are two supportable ways, v'yesh tam nachon l'chol echad me'ashito. And really, the support for either side, here it comes, da'avid kemar avid u da'avid kemar avid. Basically, do what you want. If you put the Sefer Torah back, that's okay. If you made the people wait while you rolled it, that's okay. All Rav Moshe goes on to say is you want to avoid a fight in the shul. You want to find a way that people will be satisfied with. But Rav Moshe says, I can't tell you what the proper balancing act is between Pigam Sefer Torah on one side and Tircha de Tzibura on the other. Now again, we don't have enough facts to really sort this through exactly, but I think this happens in halacha all the time. I can tell you that Rav Asher has a piece in which he says he thinks the difference is whether the Aron Kodesh is still open. He thinks the guy takes out a Sefer Torah. He realizes, the Gabbai realizes immediately that he's holding a Sefer Torah and he's singing, what do you sing when you take it out? Ashma Yisrael, okay? If you realize that, Rav Asher says, if the Aron Kodesh is still open, put it back. But if you've already closed the Aron Kodesh, he thinks at that point, it becomes embarrassing to the Sefer Torah, and then you have to roll it. Okay. I think, not because I have any support, but I think it depends. What do I mean? From Zos HaBracha to Bereishis, that's a long way. So I think it probably, a lot of it has to depend on how far you have to roll and how long it's going to take. It could be, you know, that from Emor to Pinchas, you know, that's 45 seconds. Okay, so let the Gabbai make a mishaberach slowly, whatever, you know. It may depend on how long and how far you have to go. Now, based on what do I say that? Because I think this is a din in Sefer Torah. When I was 18 years old, and I was a first-year Talmud in Gush, during laning, there was a mistake in the Sefer Torah. Apparently, everybody knew it. You know, nothing to argue about. There was a mistake. If I recall, it was like during Shlishi. It's a long time ago. I don't remember exactly. And I wasn't privy to the conversation going on there, but Rav Lichtenstein was there. And they obviously put away the Sefer Torah because it was Pasul. They took out another Sefer Torah. And it wasn't an issue of rolling, but they started laning from the beginning of the Parsha. Okay. I thought to myself, well, maybe that's probably the halacha. That afternoon, Rav Lichtenstein gave a shir on what you do when there's a mistake in the Sefer Torah. And he said, at the time, it seemed incredibly inappropriate. How could you say such a thing? He said, you know what? Probably the halacha is that you don't have to go back to the beginning of the parsha. Right? The din is, there's a mistake in this Sefer Torah, take out another Sefer Torah and start laning from exactly that point. The Sefer Torah was possible when you read the beginning of the parsha. The answer is it was probably possible when you read last week's parsha. And we don't want to go back, you know, Im Kain Ein L'davar Sof. You'll have to read every parsha again that you ever read from this Sefer Torah. So he said, that's the din. He said, but you know what? We're in yeshiva. We're b'nei yeshiva. Where's anybody going? So he said, yeah. He didn't use these words, but he said, if it was in b'nei yeshurun, I probably would have passed and just start reading from where the mistake was. Because it's tircha de tzibura to make a regular shul on a Shabbos reread, you know, large sections of the parsha. But he said, in yeshiva, everybody understands that we want to be machmir on this. And my assumption is people were mochel on their kavod, and therefore I passed in the way I did. Again, which opened up this idea to me of this black and white halacha, obviously, but sometimes there are shades that we don't recognize. And so I think, to a certain extent, when you take out the wrong Sefer Torah, a lot of it may have to do with how far you have to roll. Okay, that's just me. Now, let's do another example, which is fascinating because it speaks to how minor a time period we may be talking about for Tircha D'Tzibura. It's also fascinating because it's the question of how do you get an aliyah? When you get called up for an aliyah, what do? So says the Mechaber in Simon Kufla Mites Sifdal Hilchos Kriya Sefer Torah, Kol HaKorim Mivarchim Lefanu L'Acharel. You get an aliyah, you make a bracha before and after. How do you make the bracha before? U'poteach HaSefer Kodem Shiyivarech. You open the Sefer Torah before you make the bracha. V'ro'eh HaPasuk SheTzarech LaTchil Bo. You find the place, the Baal Kori shows you the place. Nothing about kissing it. V'achar kach yivarech. While the Sefer Torah is open, you make a bracha. U'la'acha shekara golel u'mivarech. But after he already lanes, you close the Sefer Torah and then you make a bracha. That's the halacha. Now the Rama says, u'bisha'a shemivarech bracha rishona, when you make asher bachar banu, the bracha before laning, yahafoch panav al atzad, you should turn your head to the side. Why? Shelo yehi nira kimivarech min haTorah. Because we have this strange fear that if you face the Torah, people will think you're reading the brachos from inside the Torah, and that's wrong. And he points out, v'nirli diafoch panav litzad smolo. The Rama suggests you should face left. I'll say this, in my experience, and for myself, I face right, because somehow, it's strange, the Baal Korah always stands to the left of the Ola. So you're kind of moved over to the right anyway. If you face left, either it looks like you're making a bracha to the Baal Korah, or you're looking at the Sefer Torah. Whereas if you turn right, it's clear that you're not looking at the Sefer Torah. Okay? But the point is, beforehand, you leave the Sefer Torah open, you turn your head away so nobody would think that you're making a bracha from the Sefer Torah, and then he lanes. What's the obvious question? Wait, if you're concerned that people are going to think you're making a bracha from the Sefer Torah, why don't you close it? Find the place, close it, make a bracha, and then open it again. So says the Mishnah Brura, wrote Saloma, she'ein tzarich liglol ha-Sefer Torah bishat birchato. You don't have to close it when you make the bracha. V'leka l'mecho shema yomu bracho k'tivot b'Torah v'hu mevarech min ha-Sefer. The Mishnah Brura is less bothered by this idea that people will think you're making a bracha from inside the Sefer Torah. Da'kol yodim she'ein bracha k'tivot b'Sefer Torah. Because everybody knows it doesn't have the brachos in the Sefer Torah. Now, why don't you close it? So he says, V'davka b'bracha rishono lo chashashu l'zeh mishum tircha d'tzibura. Says the Mishnah Brura, when you're getting your aliyah, we don't want you to close the Sefer Torah because of tircha d'tzibura. She'yitztachu lahamtin ad she'yachzir v'yiftach. Because otherwise the people would have to wait while you reopen the Sefer Torah. Aval b'bracha achrona, the lekha tamzeh, but the ending bracha, where you're not going to reopen it anyway because somebody else is going to get the next aliyah, you also have to close the Sefer Torah between aliyos. Says the Mishnah Brura, with respect to the ending bracha, of course you close the Sefer Torah, because you'd have to do it anyway. This way no one has to worry that you're reading the brachos from a Sefer Torah. But with respect to the opening bracha, once you open it, we don't want you to close it. Why not? Because it's tircha d'tzibura to open it again. It's tircha d'tzibura. How long does it take to open a Sefer Torah? A second? 2 seconds? And it is sometimes the case that if you close it, it takes a longer time to find the place. But the sense you get is that institutionalized tircha d'tzibura is prohibited. Again, even if it's only a few seconds, kavod ha'tzibur dictates that the person making the bracha leaves the Sefer Torah open, because why should the people wait an even 2 seconds longer than they have to, right? You really have a sense here that tircha d'tzibura is hard to quantify, and the minimum shear for tircha d'tzibura or kavod atzibur might be a few seconds, and that we would rather people, you know, have to worry that you're reading the brachas from the Sefer Torah than everybody have to wait for you to reopen the Sefer Torah, even though it's a matter of a second or two at most. Now, this could be expanded in all different ways, and it's not for me to do it, but it could be expanded with respect to, I don't know, mishabeirachs, right? There are tons of people who think all mishabeirachs should be done away with. There are other things we do in shul that might be a waste of time, but again, it has to do with the standards of the shul. It has to do with, you know, I don't say the maturity, but the patience of the tzibur. You know, in the shuls that I go to, if there's one hosafa, right, you know, you could feel the anger building, let alone two or three. I went to a Hasidish place once, and there must have been 15 aliyos. No one seemed to be bothered by it at all. Okay, I think it really depends on where you are and what the communal standards are. A quick one, we won't do this inside, but it's fascinating. What if the Shliach Tzibur, let's do a davening one. What if the Shliach Tzibur forgets to say Yala V'Yavo in his quiet Shemona Esrei on Rosh Chodesh? So the din he has to repeat. But the din B'Tzibur is now. We're not going to make the whole Tzibur wait while the Shliach Tzibur redavens Shachris. That's not fair. So we actually change the halacha. In that case, you know, his Chazar Sashatz turns into his own private Shemona Esrei, but we don't want to make the Tzibur wait. A better one. Last example. What's this business of waiting for the rabbi? Doesn't that strike us as classic Tircha de Tzibura? So the answer is yes and no. Let's do this quickly. Source number 12. Says the Rama, V'im yesh yichidim, we're in Kuf Chaf Dalet. V'im yesh yichidim b'kahal ma'arichin b'tfilatan, there's some people who daven really long. Ein l'shliach tzibur lahamtin alehem afilu hayu chashuvei ha'ir. Okay, this is bad for rabbis. Says the Rama, you should not wait for them, even if they're really important people. V'chein im hayam minyan v'beis ha'knesset ein lahamtin al adam chashuv o gadol shadayin lo ba. Similarly, he says, if davening is supposed to start at 7 in the morning, you're not supposed to wait for the rabbi or whoever. You start davening as soon as there's a minyan. Okay, so the Rama seems pretty clear that our minhag, and I think it's the universal minhag of waiting for the rabbi or the Rosh Hashiva or whatever, is incorrect. Maybe, maybe not. Now the Magen Avraham tries to explain, and I think it's a really important Magen Avraham. He says, Va'achshav no'agu lahamtin al ha'av bezdin. Presumably that means the rabbi. V'nirali hatam. He has a good reason. Sharov ha'anashim mitpalalim bimirutza. Most people daven really fast. V'im yichidim mitpalalim mila b'mila. But for those people who want to say the words, actually, lo yuchlu lomar kiddusha imatzibur, they'll never catch up. They'll never be able to say kiddusha. Lachain mamtinin. Therefore we wait. V'lachain nirali. Da'afim ein av bezdin be'ir. He says, let's say there's no rabbi. You're at the 6:30 minyan in Bnei Shurin in the morning. Yesh lahamtin ala mitpalel mila b'mila. You should still wait for some reasonably paced person. Aval kishemarich ein lahamtin ala, etc. The Magen Avraham says, forget the idea of waiting for the rabbi or not. He says, davening has to be properly paced. You have to give people a chance to daven. And so one of the ways to do that is to wait for a person who's actually saying every word. Right now, I really think it explains our minhag, but it does require something, I think, of rabbis. My instinct is, just as a non-rabbi, obviously, that if 90% of the shul is done and they're waiting for the rabbi, he's probably davening too long. And that may be, there may be an element of Tircha de Tzibura, unless people are davening incredibly fast and the rabbi's trying to teach people that you should daven more slowly, right? That's part of the role of a rabbi. And that's what the Magen Avraham is saying. I further think that, you know, you could daven slower on Shabbos than during the week, right? I think people could learn that, okay, you're in a rush to get to work. So, okay, davening in the week is faster. And I think, while people are trying to make a bus or a train, the rabbi's not doing God any favors by making them wait for him at the end of Shema or Shemona Esrei. But on Shabbos, you know, there's more time to wait, and it can be used as an educational tool. Okay, so we've seen a bunch of examples. We saw that Tircha de Tzibura is a function, we hope, of the Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha, but that it doesn't necessarily make it a Doraisa, just like Nichum Avelim and Bikur Cholim and things like that are not Doraisa, even though they're part of a Doraisa concept. We saw that there's a model of Tircha de Tzibura and Kavod HaTzibur, that they work hand in hand. We looked at the amazing case in the Beis HaMikdash of the Kohen Gadol laning by heart because of Tircha de Tzibura and suggestions about why our shuls may be easier on the issue of Tircha de Tzibura than was the Beis HaMikdash. We talked about how we get Aliyos and how Tircha de Tzibura could be a number of seconds. We talked about taking out the wrong Sefer Torah and how to balance that against embarrassing a Sefer Torah. I suggested there also, it may be that it depends on how far you have to roll. We just talked about, waiting for the rabbi. And let's finish with the following thought. We started with the Gemara that said that they wanted to introduce this week's Parsha, Parshas Bilam, into Kriya Shema. And we asked, I think it was a fair question, which is, what was so great? And we saw Karash Achav Kari, not a big deal. The Me'iri in source number 13 suggests something that I think could be Pshat and Rashi also, or it could be just be I'm making it up. The Me'iri says, Av Chachamim Bikshu Likvar L'chol Parshat Balak L'Kriyat Shema B'chol Yom. We wanted to include it in Kriyat Shema. Mipnei Shekol Oto Inyan More Al Hashkachat HaKel Yitbarach Aleinu. Because the Parsha of Balak or Bilam shows God's divine providence on us. Okay, stop there. What is so unique about the Parsha of Bilam that it shows God's divine providence? And here I want to suggest, I think the Me'iri is hinting at this. I think Rashi may have been hinting at it, but I'll suggest what I think it is. There's something really unique about this week's Parsha. It's the only example, I think, in the Torah of a story that we would not know had it not been in the Torah. The way I imagine it, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dictating the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he knows the stories, and he's been there for a lot of it, and he's writing them all down. And then he starts telling him, you know, Vayar Balak ben Tzippor, he's called Hashem, and Moshe's like, who's Balak ben Tzippor? And then he gets Bilam, and he's like, I didn't know. It's the way I imagine it, you know, there's all these people, Balak, Bilam, the Sarim, walking around like the mountains. Underneath them is us, Matovu Alecha Yaakov. We're hanging out, we're going to Shia, we're surfing the internet, we're playing ping pong, whatever we do in the Midbar. We have no idea that above us, these people are trying to kill us. It's like in the movie, right? She's going into the room and this guy with the axe right behind the door. And you know, you're telling her not to go in. And then she turns around and leaves. She doesn't know that she was almost, you know, murdered by this axe guy because she didn't go in. The magic of Parshas Balak, I think, and why Chazal wanted to include it in Kriyat Shema is because it's teaching us this incredibly important lesson that we think we know what we have to thank God for. Right? The things that happen in our life, we know about. But the Parsha stands for the fact that there's a million things we don't know about. There may be all these situations where God intervened to save us, and we're wholly unaware. And when the Me'iri says, you know, it's moral hashkachat hakel yitbarach aleinu, that God's divine providence over us is not limited to the situations that we're aware of. And when Rashi says on the Gemara, Shomrei, he watches us b'shachveinu v'komen lishkav shlevim u'shketim ka'ari v'chalavi, to sleep peacefully like the lion sleeps, right? What does that mean? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has our back even when we don't know it. And as a matter of hashkacha, they wanted to include Parshas Bilam in Kriyat Shema to make this point. The point is that We're supposed to be thankful to God for the things we know about, but somehow we're also supposed to find a way to thank God for the things we don't know about. Because the things we don't know about and the protections he provides us that we don't know about dwarf the things we do know about. I think, lahavdil elef alfei avdalot, you know, I don't need to know what the Mossad is doing in Iran. I just want to know that I got somebody there who's looking out for my best interests. You know, lahavdil, I don't have to know every miracle HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for me or does for me. I have to believe that he does it. I have to believe that he's looking out for me. And the idea of including in Kriyat Shema, I think, was to make this significant point that we thank God not only for the things we know about, but we have to thank God even for the things we don't know about. All right, that's it for this week. Yashkach to everybody. And I guess...